Chair to the GM live at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena tonight. Preds and Anaheim pregame in less than an hour. Puck drop in less than two. Titans and Chiefs will be live in Kansas City tomorrow with a special Jared and the GM starting at 2 o'clock live from McFadden's in the Power and Light District. We hope to see everybody out there who's making the trip on down to Kansas City, as we'll be live at McFadden's out in Kansas City on Saturday. And then a special Jared and the GM starting at 10 a.m. on Sunday to get you ready for the Titans and the Chiefs. Injury report-wise for the Titans, limited today. Jayon Brown with a shoulder, Rashawn Evans with a foot, Adoree Jackson with a foot, Adam Humphries with an ankle. David Long was a full participant. Jack Conklin was a limited participant with a shoulder. That's new on the report. And Logan Ryan returned to practice after he had an illness for the Chiefs. Chris Jones was out with the calf injury, and we haven't really gotten into how important that will be. I'm sure we'll do that tomorrow. And Travis Kelce was limited with a knee injury, although Kelce was limited all 3 days last week and obviously had a big game against the Texans. Without further ado, it's 5 o'clock, which means it is time for the GM.
When the GM speaks,
a little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Pella Windows of Nashville and Bob's Steak and Chop House.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. And Philip is going to start us off on Ask the GM. Philip, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Yeah, man. What do you think is the best defensive scheme to stop Patrick Mahomes? I'm kind of worried about giving him a second chance at his defense. You know, I had a look at it, so I'm just, you know, wondering what do you think would be the best defensive scheme to stop him?
Thank you, Philip.
You know, I mean, the best defensive scheme, if you've got your choice of everything, is to rush the passer. I mean, if you can knock the quarterback down, it goes a long way to helping your coverage. We're probably not going to be able to do that unless we blitz, and we probably don't want to do much of that. So I think you're relying on Dean Pease, who has done an outstanding job of deciphering what's important, of being able to stop what's important and affect the game. I mean, he's just been outstanding at that for a couple of weeks. So, you know, I would expect him to do that. I mean, we're going to have to double the tight end some way, somehow. But that you have to make sure that even if you're doubling him and you've got some sort of deep help, that deep help always knows where Hill is and what Hill is doing, because he's going to end up having to help over there at some point in time.
Let's go to Chris, who's up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. Chris, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, so my question is, how much influence on the outcome of a game does the coach really have once the ball's kicked off? I mean, can you find a player who played for Andy Reid who said, man, we were going to win that playoff game, but my coach choked? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Chris.
You know, it's interesting because, now this is just my impression, I think football coaches probably have more an effect on football games than any other coach in any other sport, primarily because of this. They are making a call and a decision virtually every 30 seconds. And that goes on for 3 hours. And so, you know, you're always trying to, you know, what's the best thing I can do here? What's the best thing I can do there? You know, in other sports, you can go through lulls where you're yelling at the players and you're trying to motivate and you're trying to, but I'm not sure you make as many, you know, instant decisions that as you do in football,
like basketball.
So, like any other sport, I mean, I don't think any other sport has to, you know, like with hockey, you know, you can be back there and he makes decisions, but you know, you have a line change and you, how often, you know, every minute or so, minute and a half, whatever it is. But in football, it's just constant. So, I mean, the coach can have an effect. But if you do a good job of preparation during the week, it's not that you're doing anything new. All you're doing is you're doing the stuff that you practiced, and you're reminding them. You know, now we're going to do this, but keep in mind, if they go man coverage and have a free safety, we want to do this. And so, you know, it's a constant reminder of things that we've worked on all week long. But because there are so many things that they literally cannot remember everything.
Let's go to Brian, who's up next here on Ask the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Brian.
Yes, I wanted to know, Floyd, what you think is, can the Titans beat the Chiefs barring a defensive or special teams touchdown or winning the turnover battle?
If we win the turnover battle?
If the Titans win the turnover battle or have a defensive touchdown, if they don't have either of those, can they win?
Yeah, it's going to get much, much harder. I can tell you that. I mean, we saw in the first game, we got a couple of all of those. And to be perfectly honest, throughout the year, we've been as good at those things as we've been in a while. You know, we've gotten some picked up fumbles at running for touchdowns. We've gotten, I want to say we got at least one pick six, if not more. So if you can do that, but... You know, the key thing is, in this game, that's going to limit the number of opportunities their offense has with the ball. And it's, you know, obviously going to add to what you're going to have. We saw last week, we got those turnovers, put our offense in great field position. They took advantage of every one of them. So, I mean, I think that is really, really big. The injury factor always is key in all of these playoff games, maybe the most underrated important fact of any playoff game. And we saw it in New England. As the second Chung goes out of the game, here comes in his backup. We run right at him, throw right at him. It's a touchdown. We're ahead, never to relinquish the lead. So, I mean, that's how... You know, important. When we were in the Super Bowl way, way back when, we're getting to the Super Bowl and we lose a starting receiver and starting safeties. And they end up at the end of the game throwing a long ball for a touchdown when, you know, our safety missed an opportunity to make a tackle. So I think you see those things and the effect that they have on the final outcome of the game, and they are monstrous.
Let's go to Robert, who's up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Bella Windows in Nashville. What's up, Robert?
Hey, Mr. Reese.
Yes, sir.
Say you're the GM on this Sunday, and you're in the tunnel with Coach Vrabel. You're about to hit the field. You got 20 seconds with him. What do you tell him?
I tell him what I used to tell Jeff Fisher before every game.
Thanks, Robert.
Let's go out there and kick their bleep. And that was it. And that was, and we did it. We always met in the same spot, and it was never, we never talked about it. We never arranged it. Just, you know, started off as kind of a happenstance thing, and then it ended up being something that, we would do every week. So that would be the last thing I'd say to him.
Okay. What if Vrabel went up to you and said, Floyd, Got any advice for me? And
I'd say, what would it be? I'd say the same thing.
And he wants real advice. Vrabel wants real advice from you.
I don't think Mike needs advice from me.
I didn't say he needs it, but if he asked for it. I think John Robinson likes advice from you, and I think that's
I think Mike is doing an outstanding job with what he's with this team and these players. If I were to tell him anything, I'd say don't change anything. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. You couldn't have asked for any more ideal. Let's face it. I'm not sure we're better than New England. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure we're probably not better than Baltimore. But we won both those games. Mm-hmm. How do you do it? Well, it's preparation. He got him doing the right things. He got him, you know, making plays when they need all the things. You make a list of 10 things that your coach has to do to get a team ready. He's checking every box. So, I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, I heard people this week talking about him as a nominee for Coach of the Year. Now, this is a guy that was 2-4 at a point in time, and we're saying he's going to be Coach of the Year or has a chance to be Coach of the Year? I mean, so he's got one mantra that Bill had that I always loved, which is let's get better every week. And you heard me when we were talking when the team wasn't very good. What's the most important thing? I used to say, we need to see them do something better every week. And if you can't do that, if you can't see them do that, then you're not making progress. You're going the wrong way.
615-737-1025. Another batch of calls for Ask the GM. Presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella. Windows of Nashville is next best call. Win a pair of tickets to see Foreigner at the Ryman Auditorium. Or no, excuse me. To see Foreigner at the Ascend Amphitheater with special guests Kansas and Europe at Ascend Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 24th. 615-737-1025. Hey, be sure to check out all of our coverage. It starts on Sunday. As we get our Sunday coverage for the game, it starts at 6 from 6 to 8 a.m. with the kickoff. Then live from Kansas City, Chase and TD 8 to 10, followed by Jared and the GM from 10 to noon. Then catch a special edition of NFL pregame from noon to 2 live from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, located at 1003 Russell Street, prior to the AFC title game between the Titans and the Chiefs. Then following the game, you'll have the postgame show live at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House, and that'll be Derek Mason and Willie Donick. The pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ask the GM is presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. Jared and the GM, Jason Fitz, by the way, ESPN Radio, who, by the way, just signed a new contract extension. Congratulations to Fitz. He will join us in just a little bit. Meanwhile, Mike is up next on Ask the GM. Mike, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, Jared. My first point is, you know, Andy Reid, you're calling him a choker and this and that, but that man's had a terrible life. He lost his son to heroin addiction, you know, his weight issues, health problems, and he still puts on a hell of a game, coaches a heck of a team. So my question for the GM is, what are they going to do with Marcus Mariota when the season's over? He's got that contract. Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's not going to be the guy. What do you do with him?
They'll let him become a free agent, and he'll go. They'll go shop him around, and hopefully find him a spot where he'll get a situation similar to what Tannehill got here. You know, maybe he can get a spot behind a quarterback that. They have questions about. And with Marcus, I mean, we were worried about his health. We were worried about how he was going to do. I mean, there were a lot of concerns there. Get that same kind of position. And then, you know, at a point in time, if the first guy struggles, he'll get his opportunity to step in and take over. I really think, this is crazy, I know, but I think this time off, him watching Tannehill, the way he's handling the team, the things he does, his leadership quality, some of those things, is really good for Marcus. Marcus needed to see that. Marcus has not had that luxury. When he came to the Titans, he was the guy. He stepped right underneath the center. He was the starter. So he never got to see a veteran guy handle the team. Now, we've had veteran guys at the quarterback position, but they were always behind him. Mm-hmm. You know, so they don't. He doesn't get to see them interact with the team as the leader, as the quarterback. So I think this has been good for him.
Caleb on the text line says, what got you interested in being a general manager in the first place, and what was the trigger to get you started in the business and the radio business?
The GM part came about because I wanted to run an organization, and I didn't think I could be a head coach. And so I did what I thought was the next best thing, you know, and got into management and ended up being a GM. I think as far as as how I got started. I mean, I got started in the NFL because of my college degree. I got my master's in kinesiology from UCLA, and of course I played there and was a lifter and
an All-American football player.
And the NFL started looking for strength coaches. And so I was one of the first three strength coaches in the league, and it kind of blossomed from there. It started with strength, and then I moved to special teams, and then I moved to linebackers, and then I even coached running backs for a while. I've coached just about everything. So, and then from coaching, I coached for 17 years in the league. I think it was 17, about that. And then got into management and was a GM for another bunch of years.
You want to tell them why you didn't think you'd be a head coach?
Well, I didn't ever picture them hiring a short, fat, bald guy.
Let's go to Tim, who's up next on Ask the GM. Tim, you're on with Floyd.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Just want to say this is probably the best part of my drive home every day. And
great.
I got a quick question about free agency for Mr. Reese there.
Yes, sir.
Fans, we have kind of a short attention span. So, like, I heard you guys talking about it yesterday with contracts potentially for Tannehill and Derrick Henry. As a GM, how far out in advance do you really start looking at maybe renewing or not renewing? Is it a year or two, or, you know, just kind of you have an outline of how you go about it? That's all I was just curious about. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks again.
Thanks, Tim.
We had a rule that we didn't renegotiate a contract with more than 1 year on it. So when you got to the final year of your contract, we always started kind of nosing around, you know, what would you guys think about an extension? What would you, you know, where are you from a money standpoint? Where are you from a year standpoint? And so, you know, you get into these conversations over a period of time. And by the time it comes down to where you're really doing the contracts, you have a pretty good feel for who you can sign, who you're going to have a shot at, and who you don't have a shot at. And I think J-Rob has probably done the same kinds of things. So he's looking at these guys and he's saying, okay, out of these, and I don't know how many guys he has to do, and I don't know how many he wants to do. But if you've got like six guys, you're saying, okay, out of these six guys, I think I can sign these two. We can put labels on these two because it's the last year of the CBA. And we may lose these two. And so you kind of categorize them that way. And then see, you know, try to make it work that way. It's not an easy process, and it seems to never ever work, but it does give you a game plan.
Tyler is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, I was just calling in. I have a few questions for you all. Excuse me, 2 hours ago, you all were talking about Ryan Tannehill having a breakout game. Well, isn't really the only game plan to beat Kansas City is have Derrick Henry run the ball, chew clock, play great defense, to eliminate Patrick Mahomes from that equation and take away some possessions from him. And my second question was, as people have been calling about Jaylon Brown, was he not injured in the first matchup against Kansas City? So I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate y'all.
I don't remember. I think he did miss that game. Thank you for the call. What do you think about his game plan? Run Derrick Henry, chew up clock, and play good defense. On the surface, I mean, it sounds good.
Yeah,
but
we've kind of made a living doing that all year long. You know, that's kind of been.
They have not been a time of possession team, though.
No, I'm not talking about time of possession. I'm talking about running the ball and playing defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of been our game plan. You know, I mean, we've been going to do that. Now, we've been able – the part that made the giant difference in the team was the passing game, what we got out of the passing game once Ryan took over, which was we supplemented, you know, all those things we were already getting out of the run game. And all of a sudden, you know, they end up, I think he and Derek, what'd you say, 9-2? You know, yeah. Pretty good record. So that's worked pretty well and benefited both of them, actually. The part that scares you about this team is, can you run enough? Can you score enough running the ball to win? And can you stop them on defense enough to win? And that's kind of where the rubber meets the road.
Let's go to Carl, who's up next here on Ask the GM. Bob Steak at Chop House Pella Windows in Nashville. Carl, what's up?
Hey, guys. Floyd, I think that you're uniquely equipped to answer this question like nobody else.
All right.
I would like to know what similarities you see between this Titans team and the Titans team that had so much success under your tenure, and what differences do you see as well?
Great question. I mean, similarities, obviously, the run game. I think our offensive line was pretty stout year round, or you know, the entire year. We had a good group. We had a good offensive line. I think our receiving group was a little bit better, and I think better production. I'm just talking about, you know, production. And I'm trying to think about the quarterbacks, because we all know what Steve was, but from a statistical standpoint, Tannehill has better stats. On defense, I mean, I think the one area that we excelled and were better than they are was the defensive line. You know, we could rush the passer, and we could do some things to the quarterback that not only our secondary was solid, and of course our linebacker, you know, we had Bullock and some guys in the linebacker group that were truly great players. So that was a pretty good team. And this is a pretty good team. You know, the differences, I think we probably were more aggressive on defense simply because of the pass rush we had. I mean, we felt like we could cover most. So we weren't afraid to blitz. We weren't afraid to stunt and move around and try to put pressure on you. Not that they are now, but I think they're limited a little bit in those areas.
Jeff is our last one today on Ask the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, GM and Jared. Thanks for having me on. Love your show. Best part of my day is going home and listening to you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I've got a question for the GM, plus you too, Jared, if you want to chime in. My biggest worry every week watching the Titans, and it hasn't changed in the playoffs, is the return game and the return coverage on our special teams. And I notice it seems like almost every week there's some kind of boneheaded play, whether it's a coverage guy on the return game going out of bounds and coming back in and being the first one to touch the ball, like happened last week that took away. We would have had them pinned back. And I'm just wondering if that's something that you hope that as a GM would be addressed this week with the coach, the head coach, as well as his, you know, the returns team coach. And I'm just hoping that that doesn't come back to bite us in this big game this week. I'll shut up and listen.
Yeah, Jeff, I think that's a great point. I think especially this week, because they have an outstanding returner, and he creased us a time or two the first time around. So they are looking, you know, they are looking to get a big play in that area with their return game. And like you said, our punt cover has been good because our punter is so darn good. You know, if in fact we allow them the opportunity to return, now it gets a little antsy. Our kick cover, you know, if in fact they return the ball with Hardeman, I mean, he can gash you pretty quickly. So, and the other side of that coin is, our return game, both punt and kick, I mean, is virtually non-existent. And I think that makes it really, really tough, because they're going to gain, if you're not careful, they're going to gain field position on every one of those kicks, because they end up picking up an extra 10 or 15 yards per return. And that's, you know, in theory, another first down or first down and a half. So that's where you kind of fall behind. And, of course, our kicker, we just don't know anything about. Good PATs.
That's it for Ask the GM, presented by Bob Stake at Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. If you didn't get in, next week, 5 o'clock, we'll have you ready for Ask the GM. Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio, going to join us next. His thoughts, can the Titans pull it out against Kansas City? We'll discuss with Fitzy next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared the GM live at Bridgestone Arena. We will be live in Kansas City tomorrow. That's right. And on Saturday, come on out and see us. We start Chase McCabe with our coverage. Starts, I believe, 2 hours before us. We start at 2, so at noon. And then Jared and the GM starts at 2 o'clock on Saturday. We'll be live at McFadden's in the Power and Light District in Kansas City. Come on out and see us. And that'll be your opportunity to get Pat Floyd on the head for good luck. If that's what you want to
do. If that works.
If it works. Speaking of Kansas City, Jason Fitz, who just signed a new contract at ESPN with ESPN Radio, joins us now on the show. Fitz, before we get to your thoughts on Kansas City and the Titans, I feel like every time we have you on the show, we have to say congratulations to you. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm going to guess good thing. So congratulations once again. We're really proud of you.
Congratulations, Fitz.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. It's been a hell of a ride and a great journey, and it just keeps going, man. You know, it's amazing, and I wouldn't be here without 102.5. So forever indebted to everybody there and the opportunity that you guys gave me. So it's incredible to think where we've been and where we're going, man. So it's a good time.
Fitz, let's start with this. Do the Titans have a chance? In your opinion, do the Titans have a shot on Sunday?
The Titans are going to win. I mean, I don't even think that's a hot take. I've been saying it on Go Look and Win Go all week. I think, as weird as this sounds, I think the Chiefs are the best team left in the NFL playoffs, and they're going to lose this game because it's just a bad matchup for them. And, you know, we talk about it all the time in the NBA where it's like, hey, sometimes you just have a bad matchup and things don't work, right? And even if you're good, you can get into a series where it just doesn't align. That's where the Chiefs are right now. Great offense, incredible team. But the fact is, you can run on the Chiefs. We all know that. The Titans can do that. They've already done it this year. And they won a game earlier this year where it was the blueprint. Derrick Henry had 188. And Patrick Mahomes went off. And guess what? That's probably what's going to happen on Sunday. But I think that actually plays to the Titans' favor, and they'll be able to keep Mahomes off the field enough that they win this football game.
So in that game, though, the Titans lost time of possession like 37-22 or something wild and crazy like that. And the Titans aren't a great time of possession team, but they've done a great job in these playoffs of taking advantage of opponents' mistakes. And to your point, Fitz, they took advantage of a fumble, ran it back for a touchdown against Kansas City. They blocked a kick. They took advantage of a missed kick or a botched field goal by Kansas City. What do you make of the Titans being so opportunistic in those situations?
Better to be lucky than good. Look, and, you know, you mentioned the special teams, and that's kind of funny because we all know how good the Chiefs' special teams have been for the year. Titans game was obviously one of the low moments, and then, frankly, they had their moments in the last playoff game. So you're right, and Derrick Henry got some big runs in that first game. But that was a different version. To my point, you know, when I'm looking at the stats, what I'm seeing is time of possession aside, this is a Titans team that I do believe, especially against the Chiefs, is going to be able to go for 5 yards here and 4 yards there and 5 yards here. I mean, it's a pretty easy method, and that this offense has really relied on that throughout the course of the playoffs because they've had short fields to work with. They've been able to just go in and get it done. So, to me, that's the fact is, for anybody hyping the Chiefs defense and the way the Chiefs defense has changed over the last 5 weeks, look at the offenses they've played. And we need to have more conversation in the NFL about the strength of opponent, essentially, the college football conversation, because the Chiefs feasted on some really bad offenses to look much better statistically. I'm not sure that they are actually that much better. Derrick Henry's going to be able to slam them because of it.
I agree with you, Fitzy. I think we're going to be able to run the ball. To what extent, I'm not sure. But I think that we're going to be able to do that. My question is this. If we have the ball for 25 minutes, let's say we have the ball for 30 minutes and they have the ball for 30 minutes, no turnovers, no just straight game, who's going to score the most points?
Ooh, that is a good question, Floyd, because they score in so many bunches. And, you know, the funny thing is I was out watching the game when we were at the national championship game over the weekend in New Orleans, and ESPN had this big event. We were standing around with all these people, and there was a Chiefs fan that walked up to me when the game
was out of hand early. That's one of our bosses. And I said to him, what do you always say to a fan there? Hey, don't worry. You guys can score points in bunches. I said that to make him feel better. None of us thought we were going to see what we saw, you know. But the fact is, they can score points in bunches. So, you know, eliminating big plays is virtually impossible. I think the biggest thing that you can do in this game, and you'll appreciate this message, boy, you've been around it so much, stay consistent, you know. So at some point, you're going to give up a big play. You just got to, you know, throw it away, crumple it up, and go back to the drawing board. And I believe they'll be able to do that. So you're right. They're going to be able to score points. But, again, fourth highest scoring offense in the NFL since Ryan Tannehill took over as the starting quarterback is the Titans. Whether it's because they're lucky or whether it's because they're good doesn't really matter. The fact is they can put up the points, and they're going to be able to do that. So I think even with that, I mean, this is going to be a high-scoring game, but I still think the Titans come out.
How have you seen anybody after his ankle knee injury episode where, you know, Mahomes is back where he's playing the way Mahomes plays? Have you seen anybody really go in there and have a secondary good enough to stop this group of receivers?
No, not at all. And this is where, you know, we've laughed in Nashville over the last couple of years at the fact that Byard doesn't give enough love, right? This is a key game for him. And I say going into last week's game that I thought he was going to be the key against Lamar Jackson, and just having the patience to read the offense the right way from the secondary. And he did that. You know, that's going to be a big part of this game. I think even more so than Logan Ryan, even more so than the corners, the safeties are going to be the key to this game, because you can't give up big play after big play after big play. And they're going to have to be able to get some level of pass rush, which, frankly, the Titans have been doing. So the Chiefs' offensive line can be beat. So you're going to have to get him uncomfortable. But when he's uncomfortable, man, you're going to have to be disciplined in the back of the secondary. And that's easier said than done. So, like, I mean, I would not be surprised if this is one of those games where you see a huge touchdown run for Derrick Henry followed by a massive touchdown pass by Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be a more entertaining game than I think people are giving it credit for.
Jason Fitz, our guest, ESPN Radio. Fitzy, do you look at the Titans? Now, they're 9-3 since Ryan Tannehill took over as quarterback, and they're 9-2 because I'm taking out the New Orleans game where Derrick Henry didn't play. 9-2 with Henry and Tannehill. Do you believe that the Titans are an elite AFC team up there with New England and Baltimore and Kansas City, or do you think that the Titans are a hot AFC team that's not as talented or not as good as New England, Baltimore, Kansas City, and maybe more so with Houston and Buffalo and Pittsburgh, but that they're hot at the right time? Do you think they're an elite team with Tannehill, or do you think they're a hot team?
They're hot, and you know, that's the interesting part of this. So now that I've given you all the love, if I could be Debbie Downer for a second, I think the 49ers, by the way, are the best team left, the best team against the Titans. The 49ers, absolutely. If we get a 49ers-Titans Super Bowl, I'd bet my house on the 49ers, unfortunately, for the Titans and
why?
The Titans fans. But because that defensive line can shut anybody down. The playmakers they have on the defensive side of the ball, not going to be able to score. Nobody's going to be able to score the way they need to on the 49ers. So that's why I believe in the 49ers so much. But all that to say, if my prediction's right, we get 49ers-Titans in the Super Bowl, man, the organization's going to have to make some real decisions. Obviously, we know Derrick Henry is going to get paid. But if I'm in Derrick Henry's camp, my number starts where Zeke's number is. And that's, I've talked to a couple of the insiders we have, and everybody feels like he's looking for top two money. And I don't think he's out of line looking for top two money. But Tannehill's also going to want to get paid. And we know what happens when you pay running backs. It doesn't go well. And has Tannehill done enough to warrant the type of money that he's likely to get? I don't know. So to your point, being hot could get them to the Super Bowl, but could also trap them in for the next few years on contracts that may or may not be the right move based on other contracts we've seen doled out.
Sounds like what the Predators are going through right now.
Yeah. If you...
I mean, believe me, though. Let me add. I mean, all of that aside, what would you give to go to the Super Bowl? Does it really matter if you get locked into bad contracts and it's not as good the next 3-4 years? Come on. If it means you got a chance at the Super Bowl, you take that all day, every day.
If you look at the playoffs when it started, and you ask all the teams that were available, okay, who do you want to play? I mean, the Titans would probably have been very high on everybody's list. You know, let me play the Titans. I'm sure, you know, New England thought, okay, we got the Titans, you know, we're going to be okay here. You know Baltimore felt that way. They would never say it, but you know they felt that way. And you know Kansas City feels that way. You know, they're saying to themselves, hey, we're just going to go out here and we'll score our regular points and we're going to win. How is this team finding a way to win?
You know, there's a identity and a brotherhood. And, you know, when you talk to teams that have been successful in any sport, what do they talk about afterwards? How special the bond was in that locker room at that time, you know? And it's funny because we had Logan Ryan on Golic and Wingo a couple of weeks ago. And when we asked about the quarterback change, he was quick to make sure that the stress was not on just the quarterback, but on the locker room as a whole and how the entire locker room came together and said, hey, as much as we love Marcus, if this is where we're going, this is where we're going. There's a special bond to the way this team seems to be coming together at the right place at the right time. I attribute that to Mike Vrabel and whatever the culture is that's being created by Vrabes. But you look at that at some point, Floyd, and sometimes the teams that go out and just get it done are the teams that have that unique bond where everybody came together for some strange reason. That feels like that's what we're watching. I think that's why they're getting it done. They've got this sort of swagger and belief in each other, and it's a little like, go back to my 80s childhood, it's a little like Voltron, all the robots coming together at once. Man, they're kicking everybody's butt just because they're together at once.
Jason Fitz, last one for you, Fitz. Green Bay, San Francisco. I think I already know your answer. It sounds like you're rolling with San Francisco all the way, so I'll ask you this. What are Green Bay's chances and what has to happen for Green Bay to win?
Well, you never want to count out Aaron Rodgers because he's a franchise quarterback and he's great. But he hasn't been great at times this year. And, you know, so for me, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a premier Aaron Rodgers playoff game. And Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have a meltdown where the moment's bigger than he is. And we keep using the yeah, but on Jimmy Garoppolo is that we haven't seen it before. But he's done it. He went into New Orleans and out-dueled Brees in New Orleans in a game that meant everything to them. So, you know, I think that the benefit of the doubt is starting to be put into Jimmy Garoppolo's court. So he would have to, the moment would have to be too big for him, and Aaron Rodgers would have to be the peak Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in the playoffs in the past for them to win. And even that, I think it's just going to be tough. San Francisco's defense, I mean, they've given everybody a blueprint. Hey, your quarterback can be pretty good if you build everything around. Your quarterback doesn't have to be epic. It doesn't have to be incredible. You build a defensive line and a secondary and a back seven like they've done, whew, good luck. I mean, that's the blueprint in front of everybody.
Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio. Is the show started already, right? First Take, Your Take?
Starts on Monday. First Take, Your Take, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, and, of course, on ESPN News. Moving time slots on Monday, gentlemen. I'm actually going to sleep like a normal human being.
Wait a minute. Hold up now. First of all, you didn't include the ESPN app, and I'm sure your bosses at ESPN who just gave you a contract extension would be very disappointed to know that you did not include the ESPN app in your rundown of where they can find you. How close was the name of the show? How close was it to being called Second Take?
Oh, you know what? I don't think that was considered, but it should have been. You know what? Still, and that's why you're smarter than I am. Look, this is the way it goes at this level. You walk into a room and somebody says, hey, we're launching a show. First Take, Your Take. You want it? And I'm like, yes, I'm in. I'm not at the level where I get to change the name, you know? So maybe someday.
See, that's why Floyd and I signed multi-year extensions in Nashville, and you signed multi-year extensions at ESPN. Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio, as always. Fitzy, take care, brother. We may be seeing you at the Super Bowl.
Congrats, Fitz.
Oh, I'm going to be in Miami, so we're all going to hang out there. It's going to happen.
Well, we're going to need the Titans to win in order for that to happen, which you say is going to happen, but we'll see you, Jason.
All right, see you guys. Thanks.
Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio, and appreciate Fitz, by the way, moving times on us, allowing us to have him on today instead of yesterday because we had John Robinson on, so we appreciate that as always.
Have you thought about the fact that if the Titans win and Green Bay wins, it's going to be Vrabel versus LaFleur?
Oh, then the Titans will win the Super Bowl.
You thought about that? Rookie coach in the Super Bowl?
Well, I've thought about this. I've always wondered, my team has never been in the Super Bowl before in terms of being on the radio. Like, the team that I cover has never been in the Super Bowl when I'm on. And I've always wondered, like, how do you can't do, we've done a whole week already talking about the Titans and the Chiefs. We can't do 2 weeks of talking about one game, can we? So this will probably take up half of the first week is you talking about Matt LaFleur and doing that. You know,
it.
Your little old chuckle.
I love it.
And then I'm sure that's probably what it'll be. Predators game day is next. Jared of the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Live Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's game day in Smashville, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes and Geno's East. What are John Hines' keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN.
1025 The Game.
Predators Game Day presented by TJ Anderson Homes. Your road to Nashville area real estate begins with my friend TJ Anderson at TJAndersonHomes.com and Geno's East. Get a historic slice of Chicago deep dish tradition before or after the game. Geno's East on the corner of 3rd and Korean Vets. Info at GenosEast.com/Nashville. Tonight, the Predators gotta have it, Floyd Reese, as they are 5 points out of a playoff spot behind the Winnipeg Jets. Now, the Predators do have 2 games in hand on the Jets, but there are teams in front. Chicago's in front of the Predators now. Vegas is in front of the Predators now, and they are taking on the single worst team in the Eastern, in the Western Conference, in the Anaheim Ducks. They gotta have it tonight.
Absolute win. Gotta have it. And Crispy said it, and it was like somebody punched me upside the head, which was, you know, to catch these guys, you've got to get 2 points to every one of their one. You know, I kept thinking, well, we got a point out of that. Well, if the other team gets a point or 2 points, you break even or go behind farther. So you've got to get 2 points to all of their one. We got a lot of work to do.
If you're going to save the season, it's going to take some time now.
Got some work.
I mean, you're going to have to do it. You're running out of time. We start with John Hines Keys, presented by TJ Anderson Homes. Try out all the new tools online at TJAndersonHomes.com. Coach Hines, what have you seen from Jakob Trinan early on?
He's really finding the role for himself. He's a guy that plays with speed. He's a tough player to play against. He uses his speed. He's a physical player. I think he manages the puck well. Like, he puts himself in positions where he can use his speed and his physicality. He's shown us that there is a willingness to fight. So he's a guy that brings an element, and I think we want to continue to develop him as a young player. But when you have guys like him in your lineup, he helps you get to the identity that we want to play with, and that's being very difficult to play against.
Floyd, Jakob Trinan, I think, is done going to Milwaukee. I think he's in it for the long haul. Taking a look at the lineups, John Hines has already made a move as coach. Well, he's made a couple. Another move he's made, first of all, he stopped using Austin Watson, which I'm here for. The second one, Victor Arvidsson off the first line. In fact, Victor Arvidsson on a different line than Ryan Johansson, who's on a different line than Philip Forsberg. Yarncroak, Johansson, and Smith. Forsberg, Deshane Granlund, Grimaldi, Bonino, and Arvidsson. Trinan, Turris, and Blackwell. And my gut tells me he's not getting enough out of Ryan Johansson, so he's moving Victor Arvidsson to Nick Bonino's line.
I would love to know the thought process behind all those moves. I mean, I'm sure he's got sound, solid. But it was so different from what we had before, and that doesn't make it bad, just makes it different.
I just think that he looks at Ryan Johansson and doesn't see the production of a number one center, so I'm not going to treat you like a number one center.
I'll be darned.
I mean, unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about it because you're paying the guy $8 million for like 6 more years, but still, I think that to me is the move John Hines is trying to make right now, is to jumpstart Johansson, maybe, you know, light a rod underneath him. Floyd, tonight, the Anaheim Ducks right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game at 7 o'clock. What are you looking for tonight?
Oh, this is a must-win. It's not an absolute must-win, but, I mean, for us to get this thing started, headed in the direction we want, I mean, you've got to beat this team.
So. You're behind Chicago in the standings. They're the worst team in the Western Conference. You need 2 wins this weekend. You need 4 points. You need no ifs, ands, or buts. I'm with you. It's time for a dominating, a 5-1 win, something where you really go out and crush someone. Preds pregame's coming up next. We'll be live in Kansas City tomorrow. We will see you then, Jared and the GM.